what's up? This is Josh from JustUsGeeks.com, and you have stumbled upon episode 162 of the Just Us Geeks podcast. That's right, episode 162. This episode of the Just Us Geeks podcast is brought to you in part by our good friends at Lynda.com. Go check out Lynda.com/JustUsGeeks and sign up for a free 10-day trial of awesome. That doesn't usually look like that guy right there, Periscope, but hang out with us and we'll do our thing. Joining us for episode 162 of the Just Us Geeks podcast is my good friend, Mr. Logan Barnes.
How you doing?
How you doing? Wow, you want to try that again there, bud?
Yeah, how are you doing? Does that sound better? I nearly choked to death.
Well, you know, thanks the real T-Rex, he doesn't, because we saw the movie, moron. So we're kind of shorthanded this week. Since we're doing an Age of Ultron episode, I thought I would reach back into my own Iron Legion of sorts and pull out, I don't know what mark I would give him, like what mark armor that I would give him, but it would be pretty good. So joining us for episode 162 of the Just Us Geeks podcast is one Ronald Elizabeth McNutt.
You are standing in the presence of a god.
Well, maybe you should try it with your mic on this time.
Or you could just turn my mic off.
Yeah, there
I'm
you
not
go.
So godlike anymore.
It's fine.
He could be Ronnie Mark Nutt.
Yeah, have fun doing that. Thanks for coming hanging out with us for episode 162, Mr. McNutt. Good to have you back.
Always enjoy hanging out with you, Josh.
It's all well, thanks. That's good.
Logan.
Logan.
This is the second time we've actually met in person. Yeah. So.
Wow. When was that first time? That sounds like a secret thing that I don't want
to
know.
You were there. We went to Pepper's, had cheesecake.
I just call it a bad impression.
Yeah, that's...
We're wiping the slate clean.
Nice
to meet you, Ronnie.
We miss you too, James. Thanks for hanging out with us on Periscope.
Hey, James, awesome.
You can hang out with us lots of other places on Facebook, like facebook.com/JustUsGeeks and @JustUsGeeks on Twitter. We're going to talk to him. They say you look really serious on Periscope.
I'm okay. Super serious.
Sorry, we're getting down to business, guys.
Yeah,
it's business time. So go and do those things, and we'll go from there. So Tweet the Geeks returns this week. Thanks to some of our friends there, Screen Team. That's so
I'm
weird.
Mighty Thor.
And
this is war.
So our Tweet the Geeks
you
question of the week was
better run
was
for
this.
The door of steel.
And I think I should probably say this, that this is our Age of Ultron episode. We've just come from watching Age of Ultron. Hi, your friend Todd. And it's Periscope. We've just come from watching Age of Ultron, and we're not going to spoil it for you. We're going to review it. We're going to talk about what we liked and what we didn't like. And we're not going to spoil it for you. So this is a spoiler-free review of Age of Ultron.
Snake kills Dumbledore.
What?
Snake kills Dumbledore.
Yep. He did. He did kill him.
Rosebud is a sled.
Rosebud is a sled.
Snape, the lost Avenger.
Snape.
It's Mr. Orange all along.
And Hawkeye. Oh, I didn't do it.
Is it Avenger?
Yeah, Hawkeye's an Avenger.
He's there, guys.
Okay, so our Tweet the Geeks question of the week this week is this. From all that you've seen so far of Avengers 2, which, you know, we've seen a lot of trailers, ridiculous amount of trailers. And what you know of Avengers 1, you've obviously seen Avengers 1 if you're listening to this, possibly. What do you think will be better? Which one do you think will be a better film? Avengers 1 or Avengers 2 Age of Ultron? And this is the question that we ask social media, Twitter and Facebook. And we even talked about this ourselves before we went and watched the movie. And we'll get to our answers in just a second. But first, Assemble. See, we can say it. Joss Whedon can't, apparently, so. All right. So let's go to the Twitterverse first over here on the Twitters. And our very good friend, RJ Sills, very longtime friend of the show, says on Twitter, Avengers 2 will blow the first out of the water. Hulkbuster, Cap's new suit, Ultron himself, and more Hawkeye. So that's RJ's take on it. And let's see. Let's pick our good friend Big Dan Marsh. He said, I'll love Age of Ultron, but I fear it'll suffer from being the middle child. Part one made me feel many feels. It gets the edge.
I think you'll feel some feels, Dan.
Was there hatred? Was there time for feels in this movie, Logan?
I think there was. There were some feels.
There were time for fillers.
Yeah, there's a lot of filler time.
It was forced feels, but
that's what I was about to say. I feel like some of it was forced, but yeah. it was there. And that's, you know, it's. I think this is a really this is like one of those movies that, you know, is going to break box office records.
Gonna
you know
make
it
money.
Is going to make a lot
yeah.
of money.
Oh yeah,
and people already have a preconceived notion of it because it is, you know, obviously a Marvel movie. It's not like Ant-Man. You know, we sat and watched the Ant-Man trailer before the movie and thought, you know, we had a conversation about Ant-Man and how after seeing the trailer. You know, our uptick was much better for Ant-Man.
Absolutely.
Most definitely.
It gave us something that we didn't see otherwise out of Ant-Man because we don't know a lot about it, you know, cinematically. Mm-hmm. And you go into Ultron with an idea. And, you know, is it better than one? That's for you to decide. But film-wise, you know, that's also another question. Our good friend Dylan Lambert says, Ultron over Avengers 1 because Hulkbuster and appearances by more of the Marvel Universe in this movie, including War Machine.
Why does everybody say Hulkbuster?
That's like the name of the suit.
It's cool, but like... It doesn't do anything for the story.
Not really, and we'll get there in a moment. But that was one of the more touted avenues of this film.
It's a very popular version of the
yeah,
suit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, people love big things. That's the reason why I love the Hulk.
Yeah.
So give a big Hulkish Iron Man.
Yeah. The Hulkbuster was really cool.
Yeah.
Great fight scene.
Yeah, it was a great fight scene, and we saw a good bit of it beforehand. There, obviously, the end we did not see. But, you know, the Hulkbuster was really cool. As a huge Iron Man fan, I was really looking forward to it.
Goes back to that filler idea.
Yeah, it kind of does. And so let's jump over to the Facebooks, and we'll just pull one or two off here. Oh, look at you typing on the keyboard. That's really good.
Periscope Co. can't quite hear.
No, they can't. It's fine. No. Ronnie's good friend, Jamie Nunley, says, I'm psyched to see the movie. The first Avengers will probably be a better movie. I'm worried the movie might focus too much on setup for Civil War and the fight scenes. Also, I'm not sold on Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in this movie yet. From the trailers I've seen, they feel out of place. Maybe I'm just missing something, but I am psyched to see the movie, though. Just cautious.
You are missing something, Jamie. You're missing actually having seen the movie yet. Because they do fit.
They did a really good job.
You know, McNutt, I leaned over it once in, towards the end of the movie, and I said to you, they did her really well, Scarlet Witch.
And part of it is her powers are a lot different than what they are in the comics, and it really works well for the way they did them. In the cinematic universe.
You can't really convey her comic book powers that well on
luck
screen. Luck-based
powers.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with what they did with her. So let's go and let's take a listen to what we recorded before we went in to see the movie. And we'll talk about our answers and then we'll actually talk about Ultron. So here is what we said were our answers to Tweet the Geeks before we went in to see the movie. Okay, so it's me, Logan, and Ronnie, and we're about to go see Age of Ultron. So the Tweet the Geeks question of the week was, which one's better? Which one do you think will be better, one or two? Logan?
I think one's going to be better because two's kind of a mid-season break, so I don't think it's going to be a complete story. I think it's going to be more of a, here's a gigantic, exciting filler.
Okay. None of the trailers and stuff you've seen have done it for you? Like, you don't think it...
I think it's going to be a good movie, but overall, as it fits within the MCU, I think Avengers 1 is going to be such a better movie.
And McNutt?
Well, I mean, Phase 2
overall has pretty much been a flop, except for Guardians of the Galaxy. So we probably can just expect this to be a flop along with it.
No redeeming qualities?
Oh, I mean, it's Marvel. It's going to have its redeeming qualities. But, I mean, besides Scarlett Johansson, I don't know.
I'm going to say that one is also going to be better. Although I've been looking forward to this Hulkbuster Hulk fight for like 6 months. But I'm going to give the nod to... What's up? No. I'll give the nod to Avengers 1. So there we go. We'll see if we still feel that way after the movie.
All right, so that's our answers to Tweet the Geeks. McNutt, given how you felt before we saw the film, is your answer still the same?
I think a lot of it is. I still feel that Phase 2 is much, much weaker than Phase 1. And
why do you feel that way?
Well, we started out with a couple of really poor films with Iron Man 3 and Thor 2, and then led into a good one with Winter Soldier, and then Guardians of the Galaxy was really fun, but... Phase 2 has kind of been underwhelming overall, and I think this is the perfect bookmark to it in all reality. Maybe Ant-Man will build up some more.
Ant-Man's the actual bookend, right?
What is Ant-Man going to talk about? Are they just going to introduce Ant-Man? Or
I guess so.
Like, is there another Infinity Gem for them to find on Earth?
How does it... McNutt, you, in your obsession with PIM particles, should be able to tell us something about this.
I honestly think the only thing it introduces is Scott Lang. I think the whole purpose is to get that character there. He will probably play a role in Civil War, probably into Avengers 3. And
that's it? Could they not do it another way?
Well, they could, but you know, I think it's important that they have Hank Pym and Scott Lang established. Now, Scott Lang wasn't in Civil War in the comics, but we had Goliath, and Goliath played a very important part of Civil War. So I think maybe Scott will take the place of Goliath, and then having Hank obviously on the side of Tony.
Mm. That kind of makes sense. Although I really got the feeling that most of the Avengers were on Tony's side in this towards the end than probably should have been.
I don't know.
I think it was pretty evenly split.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll give you that. Logan, what about you? Are you still good with your Tweet the Geeks answer?
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the movie, but it was a lot of filler. I mean, it was a good movie, fun watch. Absolutely go see it in the theaters. It's big, it's explosive, but doesn't really do anything.
Yeah.
Could we really say that filler is kind of the theme of Phase 2?
It really is. Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's really, the only exception.
It really pushed the plot forward by introducing more of Thanos, talking more about Thanos, introducing the Infinity Gems to the space crew. That concept, it really pushed it forward. But for the Marvel Universe as a whole, like, you know, the Avengers Prime, Earth,
well, see,
it wasn't affected by that.
Guardians of the Galaxy, they did with what Batman versus Superman is going to have to do, you know, like, Batman v Superman is going to have to introduce kryptonite to the world, and it's got to. I mean, it's got to some way.
I just don't know about that. Like,
it's Superman
without answer.
It's not a cop out answer. They've got to have kryptonite in that universe, and that has to be the way that they do it. Batman has to introduce that into his ecosystem, quite literally. I'm afraid,
or Lex,
or someone.
Lex gives it to Bruce.
Yeah, someone's going to do that. And in the same way, Guardians of the Galaxy is like, oh yeah, look at these things. You remember seeing that thing with that looked like a glove up in Odin's little secret fun room in Thor 1? Yeah, we're going to do something with those. And the Marvel Universe, and we'll talk about this in the second half of the show. The Marvel Universe is so weird because people know a lot more about Marvel than I think that they realize, because it's been around, you know, I mean, an extended period of time.
50 years.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that you take for granted almost that you know what you know about Marvel, and they have to... The cinematic universe is a very delicate thing. You know, I think they have to be able to explain this leads to this, and this is how we're going to do this. And I mean, they're obviously doing, you know, their own thing. But, you know, I mean, they basically used an entire movie to, you know, debut the Infinity Gems. And that's, you know, obviously at the end of this movie, you know, we take another step closer to that.
Well, it introduces it to another side of the Marvel Universe. Because the Marvel Universe is very much two sides at this point.
Yeah, oh
We've
yeah.
We've got Earth side and Guardians of the Gap, like the space
yes.
side.
Earth and space.
It really feels like that. From one movie, it feels like that.
I know, and that's what's crazy. It's like, you would think that you would have gotten some other impression. Although, I will say, after seeing Age of Ultron, I feel like those lines are going to come a little bit closer together.
Yeah, and without any spoilers, obviously, I mean, Tony does say that, what are we going to do when they, talking about space, come back?
Because they're coming. Yeah, I mean, that is a big deal. And, you know, that whole scenario really drives this entire movie, which I think is an interesting viewpoint.
I mean, in the situation that makes him realize that, the place that he's at is very familiar. We've seen it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm spoiling it for the people in the room, but not on the podcast.
Right. That's very true. Huh. For me, my answer is still the same. I have to give the edge to Avengers 1. I think because there was such a huge build up to this movie, you know, and
it didn't really.
Well, I mean Avengers, first Avengers.
Oh,
first
Avengers. Yes. Yeah, you're like, yes. Oh man.
Yeah, like everybody's pumped up and excited going into it. Woo! And exactly. You know, then Avengers happens.
I don't think we were as excited about it as we were the first time, simply because A, it had already been done.
Exactly. We'd already experienced it.
B, the movies leading up to it weren't that great. Iron Man 3, I enjoyed. Thor 2, I hated. I don't like any of the Thor movies.
Thor's an acquired taste.
Then what else did we have? We had Captain America, which was a good movie. Mm-hmm. And then we had Guardians of the Galaxy, which didn't do anything for Avengers.
No. And, you know, I don't know. I just, there was such a huge build up to Avengers. They teased it in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously from Iron Man, you know, the very end of Iron Man, you know, you knew Avengers was coming with Nick Fury.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they just started the process of waiting.
I think that concept just got us excited.
Like, yes.
Let's see all these people together.
Yes. And let's put them together.
You can't recapture that because that movie was really, really good.
And I don't think that Jon Favreau gets enough credit for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I just don't think that he does because the whole thing hinged on Iron Man and he knocked it out of the park. I mean, the perfect cast. Sans Terrence Howard, which you could really flip-flop Don Cheadle for. I mean, that doesn't really matter to me. But, I mean, he nailed Tony Stark. He nailed Pepper Potts. You don't think so? Well, someone did. I tell you who it's not anymore. It's not Chris Martin, I can tell you that.
I had to bring it into the real world.
The other two aren't even here, and it's just... but you know, I mean, it was what you wanted. I mean, and I always think it's funny that, you know, like, a lot of outlets, you know, hail Iron Man as, you know, he's not the number one superhero in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Well, maybe not to you in the Marvel Universe, maybe not to you, but Iron Man is greatly important to the whole story. I mean, he's one of the most integral pieces. No, he's not Captain America, but he's who everybody wants to be.
What I did like about this movie, though, was it was not Iron Man the movie. Because Avengers...
Well, for a little bit of it, it was.
It was
a little Iron Man 4 there for a while.
But it wasn't like Avengers, which was Iron Man 2.5.
No, like, you got that at the end where it was like, we got Iron Man. We need to do something with him. Obviously, Joss Whedon doesn't really like Iron Man that much. He can get the engine turbine going in the helicarrier. He can hold up a big rock.
But
that's
I think that was the point of this one, was to say that these guys are a team now.
Yeah.
It's not just about Iron Man. It's not just about Captain America.
Well, they really stressed that several times.
That's definitely one thing they improved on from the first movie to the second. Was in the first movie, we felt like they gave everybody good screen time.
Yeah.
And then this movie came along. It's like, really they didn't compare to this one.
No.
Because everybody gets their moment.
But I felt Avengers like that 2. Was kind of their falter in this one because they rushed a lot of things in this one.
Yeah.
Like the plot lines that people were involved in were very short, very simple plot lines. They weren't like, oh, you get to learn, you know, more about the, it was just character in, blunt force tells
in
you.
In some places it reminded me of an episode of the new season of Arrested Development where it was like boom, 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 seven storylines going on at once.
Oh yeah, definitely had that.
It wasn't confusing though.
No, it really
very
wasn't.
Easy to follow.
But I don't know, I don't think that you can top the hype for what Avengers was. You can, and it's episode 7 of Star Wars.
And it's also Avengers Infinity War, because I'm way more curious about that than I ever
see,
was.
See, I think so too, because now it's like we have to put this puzzle together, right? Because in the first one, we're like, we're finally getting this movie. We're getting it. It's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. It's going to be great. And then this is the stopgap, you know, that kind of helps us fill in some of the pieces, you know, with the fun metal that they find and the guy's arm that they rip off and I mean, like, there are pieces that get set into motion in this film that make, you know, Infinity War gonna be awesome.
And then we have the rest of like phase 3 to gear up for. We've got you know, Guardians 2.
It's
Spider-Man.
Almost like phase 1 all over again. I mean, to an extent. I mean, they could totally blow it, but we don't know yet.
Thanos, they've been teasing him for years now.
And he looks the same every single time. All right, so I'm going to give the nod back to Avengers. This is, to me, really, though, even after seeing this, this is really like an apples and oranges kind of debate still to me.
Two different types of movies.
I'm allergic to oranges.
Are you? Well, that's why I brought you along this week.
That's why Avengers 1 was the oranges.
Yeah. All right. Do 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 do. Flig do do do. Avengers. Ba-da-dum. All right. So we did it. We went and saw Age of Ultron. Not quite as shocking as our last trip to the theater, Logan Barnes.
No, it was not.
If there had been any of that, I would have been very shocked and surprised, and
I don't know. There was some capturing going on. So.
I don't know. Anyway, so we did go see Age of Ultron. We just got back from it. There's no waiting around. We're doing the show. Boom, we're gonna do it. So McNutt, you know, I wanted you to be on this episode because I knew we had a space to fill, and you know, you and I talked about this before anyway.
You're filler, just like this movie.
No, he's not filler. I mean, this is a perfect McNutt episode.
Dissenting
McNutt.
Dissenting opinion.
For anyone new to the podcast that doesn't remember my time on the podcast, the reason why this is kind of a McNutt episode is because I'm not afraid to call movie makers idiots when they do stupid things.
Because refresh our memory, those who might not have been around since like episode 4 or 5 of the Justice Geeks podcast. Tell me a little bit about how you kind of got your opinion heard about Avengers.
Well, Avengers came out, I think it was episode 7 was the episode that had Avengers. And I created a YouTube video telling the original geeks, the founders, how stupid they were for their opinions. And specifically that one of the founders stated that the Skrulls were not in the movie. And there was a famous line in this video. Boom, shakalaka! The Chitauri are the Skrulls.
Yeah.
So it just, the video was fun. I got to insult everybody, and that kind of started this romance that me and Josh have.
That's right. And
don't touch me there.
Sorry. So yeah, you gave me that warning before the show and I didn't listen. So tell me what you think about this, about Age of Ultron, how you felt going into it, what you took away from it, and we'll go on from there.
Overall, I'm kind of conflicted over the movie. I really enjoyed it as a popcorn movie, but as far as what it does for the cinematic universe, we've already stated it's filler, and I was a little disappointed with the characterization of multiple of the characters that we've had from the beginning. Tony, I think, was about the only original that I felt his characterization was done correct.
Yeah.
You stated to me, Josh, right after we got out of the movie, that you didn't understand why they made Cap such a jerk. And that's because they weren't characterizing him right. And I felt the same way about everybody. It's kind of a complaint I've had all across Phase 2 that everybody just feels out of character at this point.
Yeah. I don't know. With Cap, I felt like he was becoming a jerk because he was, you know, in the military again. He was fighting now. So, like, people were going to follow his orders because Tony said, hey, he's the leader.
Yeah, but it was really like, hey, he's the leader, but I pay for stuff. I'm Tony Stark. You know, I mean, I don't know, like...
And he was really only a jerk to Tony, so I feel like that's a Civil War lead-up.
Yeah, well, they blatantly have set us up for the Civil War. I mean, it's like...
it's all in there. They push that in our face in this movie, so just get ready, guys.
If you are one of those people who don't think that movie studios leak information like that, you're a fool, because this movie is the blatant result of that.
Exactly.
We want you to know going in that your guy that you liked is going to be a jerk, and here's why. You know, this is coming.
And I will throw back to Avengers 1, one of my complaints about it was that there was too much of the infighting going on in the first Avengers starting out the movie. Well, it made sense in that one because they were getting together, and that was all part of them getting together.
Right.
And then we fall right back into that formula again.
Yeah. Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, did it have a point? Sort of. Yeah. But... I mean, for me, and it was in the credits, so it was in a trailer, so it is a podcast, folks on Periscope. Thank you very much. I made the mention. It was like, well, Thor got back into his little get-up really quickly while everybody's still standing around in their party clothes, and he went right for the throat, literally. Like, he picked Stark up and is like, you can't do this. You know, I mean, it felt really forced. Like, we get it. They're very strong personalities. What I did take away from the whole people are kind of mad at each other all the time, angst. I liked the development of the relationship with Stark and Banner in this film.
Yeah.
That was much better. If you're going to set me up for something coming down the road, that's the way to do it.
You can tell they've been hanging out between the movies.
Yeah. And I think it was in the end of Avengers, like they go
the couch
hanging
scene,
off together. Yeah.
He's doing the therapy thing.
But, you know, I think that I think out of the whole, there's dissension among the ranks, I like the most.
Yeah. I think that if they would have spent an entire movie with them being a strong team, that it would have had much more of an effect in Captain America 3 when they divide, because now it's like, who's going to be on whose side, because they're all such, you know, such a strong team.
You could have even gone in the reverse with everybody working really well and then like slowly dissolving because of the differences, the moral differences.
That's kind of what I took from this, is like, I wanted to see the movie where they were, you know, the Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Exactly. I mean,
it was there right at the beginning.
Yeah, for about 5 minutes. Yeah. I mean, and I want to see more of that. And you know, Thor actually cracks a joke about Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Well, where's that been? Because that's what I want to see. When you say Avengers, that's what I'm thinking. And I want to see it for more than 5 freaking minutes at the beginning of a movie to fill out what's coming in the rest of the movie.
Well, they acted like all their Avengering had been going on while Guardians of the Galaxy was happening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They didn't say that, but that's kind of what they hinted at. Like,
they've been doing this for years now.
Yeah, you know,
like, maybe that would have been a good television show instead of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
What wouldn't have been?
They barely talk about the Avengers on that show, too.
Oh, so. But don't you know, this last week, Coulson's like, this is a job for the Avengers or something like that.
And they still think he's
dead. Hint, wink, wink. Coming this week on Friday, the Avengers. Yeah, we know you're one gigantic commercial.
It's a big
for the movieverse. That's fine.
Avengers 2 is just a giant episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But I'm really glad that I'm not the only one who sat there and thought, could we not just have had a happy-go-lucky movie of them, you know, getting kicking some tail and being the Earth's Mightiest Heroes? Because that would have been really fun to see.
Exactly.
Because they're great characters. They've done an excellent job with their casting. Everyone in this movie was cast perfectly. Obviously, the original Avengers, the newcomers, freaking brilliant, and James Spader knocked it out the flipping park.
He was great.
Well, Ultron was hands down the best part of the movie. Ultron and Vision.
Yeah.
They were the strongest characters, and
yeah,
it deserved to have the title Ultron, and it deserved to have the hype around Vision.
Yeah.
Ultron is so much wittier in the movie than the trailers make him out to be.
Yeah.
Like, he has a personality.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
I wonder why they didn't develop that. I thought that too. You know, I mean, because it was basically just the robot version of James Spader.
Yeah, it really was.
They did an awesome job with the mocap. I mean, they had his facial expressions captured perfectly.
Even without a nose.
Yeah. In
Take
Ultron.
That Krillin.
In Ultron. And it was really, like, I really loved him. I knew I was going to really like... They made a great choice. I know I was going to like that. But, they did knock it out of the park with that. But I really did. I just wanted to see one movie of... Here's the good side, because it would have made it so much better to see Ultron slowly tear them apart again. Yeah. But they've not been a thing. You know, I mean, they've been people... I mean, you know, you can play a pickup game of basketball with anybody, but that doesn't mean you're a team.
Yeah.
You know,
and without spoiling it, you know, they kind of used a plot vehicle through the Scarlet Witch to split them apart quickly. And I don't think that was the right way to go about it.
Well, I like Josh's, like, they did seem like people just getting a pickup game of basketball. Like, oh, we need you to do this mission. So here you go, guys. Get together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who told you to do the flipping mission?
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Why were you there?
Yeah.
Was that explained in S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
I don't know. That's the one thing that I missed from this. And if they hit... They could have made two movies out of this. I'm glad they didn't, but they could have made two movies out of this. I mean, basically what they do next is just a continuation of this. So it really is like they made two movies. But if they could have shown us that for just a little bit longer, I'd have been much happier about this movie. Because I made a mention to you, McNutt, as we were coming out of the theater. That first part was kind of slow.
Yeah,
it was. Just a little bit slow.
It's a lot of buildup. You kind of get the big bang at the beginning and then a lot of buildup.
Yeah. That there's a lot of cheese in this film, folks.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's the one thing that I wasn't really expecting. And I saw it on the commercial and I thought, well, they've just cut it this way for the commercial where they are all paused there right at the very beginning and they're going into their Avenger mode. They really did that in the movie.
Well, yep. I like that scene as an intro piece. I mean, it's like, here are your Avengers, guys. They're all together being Earth's mightiest heroes. Because that's what that first section was for.
But let me ask you a question about that first section. Why does Tony Stark have a suit?
Yeah,
Because he's Iron Man.
Plot hole. He destroyed all the suits at the end of Iron Man 3.
Well, he builds them again. I mean, that's not
that hard. Was acting like it was over. No more Iron Man.
Yeah, they don't make mention that he's just doing his thing without the arc reactor. He's just,
I'm Iron Man again. Forget Iron Man 3. The only thing that happened in it was the arc reactor. It's done. But
I threw it into the water.
Didn't they have some like weird webisodes that were attached to the Blu-rays? I think that may have explained like why he was getting webisodes. Back into the business. Yeah.
Well, let's just take it from the viewpoint of people who just go and watch the movies. They're not going to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're not going to that's a really good plot hole that I didn't even really pick up on because I freaking love Iron Man. I'm like, "Yeah, Iron Man." And it was I can't remember which version of that it was that he used in the first scene.
It was a new version. Well, I think that was actually the Mark 13.
Well,
I think it was
Mark 13. He used at least three different versions of the suit in this film.
Yeah.
Possibly four. I mean, I don't really count Hulkbuster because it's Hulkbuster, but I mean, that's a great point. Why does he have one? He's just out being Iron Man. That's why I said that really the first part of the movie kind of felt like, to me, Iron Man 4/Hawkeye, which is fine. I mean, I thought Jeremy Renner was great, and he kind of needed some exposition, but, you know.
I mean, you can kind of infer why he got the suits back. He started getting nervous about, like, the world, obviously.
It's not your job as a moviegoer to have to infer anything.
Yeah.
They should have filled in those blanks for you.
Take a film class. You'll learn that's not the truth.
Well, this is a comic book movie. I'm going to take what you give me. You know, I'm not going to infer that Ultron is this or that. you're going to tell me this is Ultron, this is what he's doing, and that's how it goes.
But I will say, in all fairness, too, with Avengers 1, you know, how was Thor able to get to Earth? This is not a new president, so they've been willing to jump over those plot holes already.
Yeah, so there's probably an explanation that we don't know of, and I'm sure we'll get there. What else, McNutt?
I have a really big problem with the direction of this film. I mean, Joss Whedon used way too many explosions in this movie, and that's kind of been phase two in general. I feel like the explosions we're getting to where this is becoming Transformers-esque.
There was even Grimlock there for a moment.
Yeah.
But I thought that too, like, especially towards the end of the film, there was a lot of explosions, and it did not feel like a Joss Whedon movie to me.
It was This was very much an action flick. They wanted you to watch the fighting and not anything else. I mean,
well, then they should have let the dudes who did Captain America do it.
Yeah.
I like the fight scenes. They were interesting, minus all the cheese all over the place with the lines. But
But see, and that's what I thought about the Winter Soldier. I thought the Winter Soldier was perfect. There was the appropriate amount of action, and they did it really, really well.
Well, you got to think, they also had an emotional connection to that villain in
Very true.
Winter Soldier. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
It's Bucky.
Yeah. If you haven't seen that movie yet,
Bucky is the Winter Soldier. He didn't really freeze. I don't know. It didn't feel like a Joss Whedon film to me. And the first one did. That's one of the things that I really liked about it. It didn't feel that way to me.
And then there was one of my big complaints. Again, I think this just goes with the writing in general, is they went overboard with the protect the civilians storylines. And I know that's a pot shot at DC, and they're trying to, you know, really capitalize on the fact that people criticized Man of Steel so much because Superman didn't do anything to protect civilians.
It's almost like it was a direct result of that.
Exactly. But that doesn't make for good film.
No, that you just have to kind of assume that the heroes avoid hurting people, but
or that there are casualties.
Well, yeah.
And I've already seen how do you say the name of that website? Kotaku or however you
Kotaku,
say it.
Kotaku, yeah.
I don't pay attention to them because their reporters are horrible. But they did an article talking about how, Marvel just did what DC wouldn't. And it's like, that's how people are going to react to this. And I'm sorry if that's the way you're going to react to it, but that's kind of stupid because
do you read comic books? Yeah, people die in comic
throughout
books.
Throughout this entire movie, a ton of people are dying. And then we just focus on the people that they're saving, and now we've got around the civilian casualty problem with the movie.
Think about Avengers 1. How many people died during the Chitauri invasion?
Well, that's one of the things that I've loved about some of the other properties they've done since Avengers. Like in Daredevil, you really get the feel that, man, they messed things up.
Yeah.
They messed things up badly for everyone. And you know, so this was your answer? Like, you've spent all of this time, even in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and with what they're working on now, saying, this is real, this happened. And then you're like, I'm going to go save this person from driving a car off a cliff, just like they did in all of the freaking Spider-Man movies that people hated so much.
It's like, I think the lesson that they should have learned from this is you can't save everybody.
No.
Exactly.
That's what this movie is about.
That's what Ultron was there for.
And yes.
I think they needed to learn that lesson the hard way, but nope, they learned their lesson that, you can save everybody.
And cornily, too. I mean, if I saw one more freaking S.H.I.E.L.D. bank shot that saved or blew up Ultron bots, I was going to flip my lid.
I mean, it was ridiculous.
That's just his way of fighting. He does that in the comic books. That's ridiculous. But the fight scenes were a little long, and the whole last section was way too focused on civilians, for sure.
Yeah, most definitely.
I will say, though, and I said this to McNutt in the car on the way to the studio, that I did like the fact that everybody pretty much got a shot at Ultron.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody did. That's been people's main gripes with these movies is there's not enough of the big fight, the Iron Man, that's kind of been the thing, you know, there's not enough of the big bad and Tony Stark going at it. Everybody got a shot at Ultron.
Well, the difference is Loki was the bad guy in Avengers 1, and he's a frail dude.
Yeah.
They couldn't really let everybody take a shot at him, but Ultron was everywhere at once. So,
And you did kind of have your key fight with Ultron.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to reveal who that was.
No.
But you did have one Avenger that really took it to Ultron
yes.
more than any of the others. And he kind of had the key fight.
Yeah.
But everybody got to have a fight along the way.
Yeah. He really worked his butt off in that fight.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. he kind of made a joke about it, you know, but everybody got a shot. And that was, you know, I thought that was actually an improvement upon things they had done before.
But I mean, if you think about Guardians of the Galaxy, everybody had their fight in that one. I mean, they've done a real good job.
James Gunn, he's on a whole different level.
Yeah, but it's just, Avengers is a big team to do that with.
Yes.
And I think you have to have a super villain to do it with, not just Loki or the Chitauri as a general thing.
Right. They gave it a face. And yeah. I think they made a smart choice with Ultron. I do. I mean, I feel like that was a good choice. Logan, was there anything that you did like from this film?
Like I said, the fight scenes were fun to watch. I mean, it's still 2 years out, but or 3 years out, but they did a little tease for Infinity War.
Several.
Yeah.
Several. There's a point where two Avengers come to blows at each other for just a brief second.
Yes.
I feel like this whole movie was just like, here's what they're going to be doing in phase three, guys.
Those angsty Avengers.
Yeah, like, we could make a plot for Iron Man 4 out of all of what happened in there.
I think what Brother Dan Marsh said in his tweet, the geeks, I think it's really what it comes down to is this is the middle child. That's kind of, this is the bridge between phase one and phase three and really never developed into its own phase.
No.
And I mean,
you're right.
These characters though are so far beyond regular villains at this point.
Yeah.
Like, can you picture Iron Man fighting, I don't know, Whiplash or the Mark One, the big Mark suit from the first one now, and not just completely destroying it in 10 seconds?
You know, he does make a remark of, you know, what, are we just going to kill or beat up thugs?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And so I don't know. That's a very good point.
So that makes me think that this setup for phase three was like, yeah, they're going to be fighting dudes like this all the time.
Yeah, and that's fun.
And that's the thing, too. You mean, me and Logan kind of talked before the show. Well, I think it's important they got Spider-Man because, bam, here's your street-level hero again. And I think that's going to feed into making Phase 3 successful.
Mm-hmm.
Is having, you know, that range of, you've got the street level with Spider-Man and potentially Daredevil.
Because they're superheroes now. Exactly. And I think to me, that is what I took away from Ultron is that these dudes are legitimately superheroes now.
They're superheroes. Yeah. Daredevil and Spider-Man are heroes.
They're heroes, like, right. Yeah. I mean, and even Tony Stark, because of his wealth and the length that he goes to.
His suits.
He is, but I mean, they are the A-team. You know, we finally have an A-team, not just a team of people together, which is why I really would love to have seen a film of them just, you know,
being Avengers.
McNutt, did you like any? What did you like the most from this?
Really, one of the more interesting aspects from as a comic book lover is how much they did that harkened back to the comic books without copy pasting. Because we go back, and I'm not going to necessarily say what it's about, but to The Walking Dead this last season, where Glenn held a baseball bat and the camera lingered on him.
That was intentional. Yeah,
those kind of throwbacks I love. And they had a lot of those with particular moments with the Scarlet Witch. Oh, what's she going to do? You know, because you're thinking, is she about to go comic book Scarlet Witch here? You know, and then, you know, alongside with a lot of the Civil War type buildup, you're sitting here, you know, really wondering what are they about to do? And then a lot of it, they pull back. But that's always real fun to see them harking back going, hey, we're gonna go to the source material for a second, give you a little fun moment for the comic lovers.
That's another complaint that I have. This movie really didn't do a ton to set up the Superhuman Registration Act like I thought it would. Their whole deal of let's save everybody kind of really defeated the purpose of that. Like, because they showed that, they can save everybody. They don't need to register and be responsible for their actions.
Well,
except for Hulk.
That was about the only part.
Yeah.
That's the thing you got to remember, too, about Civil War in the comics. Civil War in the comics is set up by two things.
Yeah.
One is Hulk goes on a rampage. which he does. And two, a group of basically Z-list heroes try to take on a group of villains, and it causes the death of basically every child in the school.
Yeah.
And I think that they couldn't necessarily do the second one in this movie. I think that would be better for a setup.
They're going to set it up in S.H.I.E.L.D.
I hope they don't. Like, it's got to be at the beginning of Cap 3.
They're going to talk about the reality show those superheroes were on, though, in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Probably. And, like,
to fully understand the situation, you're going to have to watch S.H.I.E.L.D. for it. And that sucks, because I hate S.H.I.E.L.D. so much.
Yeah. I will say I did not come out of this film feeling the way that I thought I was going to. I just didn't. And that's because at the end of Avengers, you got a bookend. This obviously isn't a bookend. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not sure. They tried to give you a little small little bookend there at the very end. It just
makes me curious. How is Ant-Man going to bookend phase two? Like, phase two to me didn't. I mean, phase two's goal was Infinity Gems.
Yes.
And I feel like we've already laid that out.
And we did that.
Yeah. So
more filler.
What is Ant-Man going to do to end this on a strong note?
To end it on a strong note and further the cause?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, surely they can't do an entire film and then, like, the actual thing that furthers the cause is the after credit scene. I'd hope it's not that.
That would feel so dirty.
Yeah, like, well, such a cheap cheap move.
But then again, you know, with a lot of the introduction movies for the heroes, that's the way they did it, with the after the credits. And what if it's less a bookend for phase two, but an introduction
for phase three.
To phase three?
Yeah, that's true. And I'll say this, which is why I'm not necessarily so worried about Ant-Man. I think they did a really great job of incorporating new Avengers to this team.
Absolutely. Yes.
I was worried about that. It's like, wow, how did we ever get to this point without these people? Yep. You know, they did Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver incredibly well. I was actually kind of a fan of Evan Peters' Quicksilver in X-Men. I thought it was, you know, comical.
I liked this one much better.
Oh, yes.
This is a much more serious Quicksilver.
And he serves a purpose. Yeah. He's an Avenger.
And I like that they just dressed him as a runner.
Yeah.
Like, he put on running clothes. Like, what would you do if you were in his situation?
Yeah. But I thought they did a really great job of incorporating them into the fold. So, you know, maybe they're not going to have such a hard time bringing Ant-Man in. I mean,
I still think
it boils down to there are still two worlds very much alive in the Marvel Cinematic Universe right now. There's the Earthbound world, and then there's Space world.
One of the things we got to remember about Earth right now is we've got two stories that they've got to get to critical mass with the amount of Earth heroes that there are, because you've got to have them for Civil War. The more heroes they introduce right now, the better Civil War is going to be.
Yeah.
And the second thing is being the main fighting force against Thanos and the Infinity
War. I feel like phase three is going to, like, introduce chaos with Civil War,
yes,
converge the worlds with Guardians of the Galaxy 2, slam Thanos in the middle of that chaos with Infinity War.
Yeah, like, out of nowhere, boom, here he is. And then we turn the page. I mean,
maybe we should work together now, guys.
Yeah. I mean, they can do it well. I think that they can do it well. I mean, what?
I just thought, like, better watch out. If Dan is playing Thanos, he'll come back to life like 9 times.
Oh, I know.
Heroescape. Don't
Heroescape. What's that move called?
Like, immune to, it's like against death or
no,
whatever.
Courting death?
No.
He basically rolls a 20-sided dice. If he rolls a 20, he comes back to life. And Dan...
Rejected by death.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dan did it 3 times in a game against me and Josh, and that's the only reason he won.
He Thanos the crap out of us. It's
ridiculous.
He Thanos rolled you.
So, McNutt, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give this film? In the grand scheme of things, not just, here's a standalone, but in the grand scheme of things, 1 to 10.
I give it about a 4. I think this is one of the weakest efforts, honestly, out of Marvel. I mean, honestly, only Thor 2 and Iron Man 3 are below it.
Which is the bottom end?
Oh, Thor 2.
Man, Iron Man 3 was so bad. Yeah. Logan, scale of 1 to 10.
Within the context of the Marvel Universe, 5.5.
I'm okay with that.
Better than average because, hey, everybody's there. Hulkbuster. It introduces cool things.
Hulkbuster.
But, like, as a movie, I would give it much better. As a popcorn movie, 8. But, like,
great popcorn movie.
If I went back and said, hey, before Avengers, you know, 3, I'm going to watch all the Marvel movies, I could skip this one and be fine.
I really think they spoiled us with Winter Soldier. I really do.
Guardians of the Galaxy,
and
Guardians, too.
Well, like, specifically Winter Soldier, because it was, you know, based in this realm, and they did it so well. And I'm really okay with those guys taking the reins of the universe.
Absolutely.
And the thing with Winter Soldier is it wasn't just a good Marvel movie. It was
a good movie.
You could have taken Cap, Winter Soldier, and Black Widow out and just made it about regular, you know,
Steve Rogers, special
agents doing this. Yeah. Then it would have been perfectly fine.
Yeah. I will say I'll give it a 6.5 to 7 because I just freaking love Iron Man and I'm trying to be the positive one here. Literally, we had that discussion beforehand. There were a lot of things that I liked about it, and it's just open-ended going into phase 3.
Do you think they're going to do another like mega movie marathon before Avengers 3?
I hope not, because if I had done that and then watched Age of Ultron, how mad would you be?
This is what we built up to. I had to watch Iron Man 3 and Thor 2 for this.
Oh, in a row. Oh, man.
Oh, they would have been one right after the other.
Yes, they would have been.
That's the pee break hour.
Right there. I don't know. I thought we were going straight into Ragnarok in one point in this film.
It would have been wonderful.
I thought that's what was going to happen, but it didn't happen. Okay. So go see this movie. Go see it. Let us know what you think over at JusticeGeeks.com and on Twitter. By the way, the newly redesigned JusticeGeeks.com. You should go check it out. Looks awesome.
Back.
And all that fun stuff. So go check it out and leave us. Boy, that's creepy. Go leave us.
You're winning the creep bill today.
Yeah, he sure is. McNutt always wins the creep bill. I don't think you know McNutt that well.
Oh, we can heavy breathe against each other all day, man.
Oh, you're so gross. All right. We're going to pause for a little second while I remind you about our good friends at lynda.com. I need you to go right now to lynda.com/justusgeeks and sign up for a free 10-day trial of awesomeness with thousands, well over 3,000 video self-paced courses. You too can better your own life by signing up for your free 10-day trial at lynda.com, where you can learn all kinds of things. You can learn how to be a better photographer, how to use Photoshop, business skills. I mean, there's really a course for anyone.
Could you learn how to make a website?
Yeah, you absolutely could learn how to make a website. You could learn how to make a podcast. I know a good handful of people that could really do with going to sign up to lynda.com/justusgeeks.
Could I learn some Photoshop skills?
You could. I said Photoshop. Could do Photoshop there.
I'm sorry.
Public speaking.
Public speaking.
Yeah, you should definitely take that course.
Could you learn how to make friends?
That's the perfect timing in the music.
I'm not sure if that is lynda.com approved.
But if you use your lynda.com skills to help people, they might like you.
You might make friends.
Yeah.
But McNutt, you're not ever going to have any friends, so you should use lynda.com for something else. So do it. Go sign up today. You can learn at your own pace. It's well worth your time and the investment in doing it. Whether you just want to, you know, improve your own personal life or improve your professional skills, you know, hey, maybe it's the career bump that you need.
What was that website again?
It's lynda.com/justusgeeks.
All right.
/justusgeeks. Boom. Hey guys, you remember when Marvel movies were good?
In 2008?
Yeah, that's...
At least we had Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's like...
If we'd have rolled like Thor 2 right into the Avengers...
It's like when that major character is dying at Avengers, they could say, well, at least we had 2008. Never mind. All right, so very quickly, McNutt, because we're... we've been hooked on Marvel feelings and we've gone a little long. Let's talk a little bit about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the Marvelverse, and the comics, and whether or not they align, and how you feel about that.
I mean, the simple answer is no, they don't align, and
no,
that's perfectly fine. The thing is if you wanted to do the storylines just like in the comics, it's like, which one?
Which iteration of the comics?
I mean, are we going to do Ultimate? I mean, are we going to do Mainstream? Are we going to do, you know, there's a thousand different universes.
Are we going to do the 1980s introduction of Ultron?
Exactly.
The 1990s one?
And you know, and I think that's a problem. That, like,
which Ultron is it?
I think it's a problem that, like, Fantastic Four is suffering because people are looking at the trailers for Fantastic Four and going, well, what is this?
This isn't
because
like any of them, yeah.
Well, it's a lot like the Ultimate verse in some degrees. But, you know, they're really going their own direction, and that's a smart thing to do, because if you do the same story, people like me who've been following the comics since forever, we're going to know the story that's being told exactly verbatim. So they have to do their own thing.
Yeah.
Am I happy that the creator of Ultron is not the person it was in the comics? I'm not exactly excited about that, because Pym Particles.
You love some Pym Particles, big nut. You the Pym Particle and this loving guy? No.
Yeah, you know.
Well, continue.
So, you know, having it be different really allows you to tell your own story. And Marvel, I think, has really embraced that idea within the movie verse, because, I mean, from the very beginning with Obadiah in Iron Man getting killed outright, where he's one of the more persistent villains in Iron Man's lore.
Right.
I mean, he pretty much establishes that outright. Then, of course, with Whiplash's origins, so much different than they were in the comics. You know, all of their movies have really taken a lot of liberties, and that's fine, because it just makes for a better interpretation, in my opinion. And I think people nowadays get a little more uppity about making sure, oh, I want it to be faithful to the source material.
Well, now, to your own credit, you were kind of that way about Walking Dead.
Well, we can go back to, what was it, episode 57?
Something like that.
Where I stated that my problem with The Walking Dead was it acted like it wanted to be one way one minute, and then the other way another minute, and now it's kind of just doing its own thing.
And with stuff like The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, there's one source material.
Exactly.
One. We have years of storylines to choose from here.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, at that point, you know, if you really wanted to go by the source material, you're still going to make somebody mad that, oh, you're not doing it the way I like it. Good example, the new Joker.
Okay.
You know, people are, oh, well, you know, that's not the interpretation of the Joker I like. Okay. Well, you've got Heath Ledger to go to. You've got Jack Nicholson you can go back to.
And you've got how many series of comics to go back to?
Exactly. Yeah. And so I feel like we need to embrace these new incarnations, these new stories, because, well, you know, they're original. They're something that we haven't seen before.
Embrace them for what they are as new things.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I think Marvel has done this well. They realize everyone who sees their movie hasn't read the comics. You know, there's got to be something for both. And I think they do a good enough job of giving, you know, faithful readers and, you know, noobs everything they need in these films. You know, like, we'll use Thor for example. They probably really didn't know where they were going when Thor came out. Maybe they did, and I'm just totally wrong. But, you know, in Thor, it was the Easter eggs of the Infinity Gauntlet and, you know, special nods to people who'd kept up with the story and with the comics and, you know, with the overall lore. And there's a lot of that. But, it, you know, also, if you haven't ever picked up an issue, doesn't matter. You can still enjoy it. Exactly. And I think that's okay. Logan, I mean, is this something that you're okay with?
I don't really read Marvel comics. I'm a DC comics guy, or was.
I'm sorry. But
the comics are way better than Marvel right now, or were, and then they screwed it up recently. But no, I'm fine with people being able to, or you know, the movies being different from books or source material. And it seems like movies are the only thing that get this treatment. if someone were to take a successful TV series and make a book series out of it, it doesn't catch flack for that. It's like, sweet, new Doctor Who stories, not this doesn't follow that episode exactly.
Right.
It's like film presentations and television presentations and video game presentations have to be so, you know, ingrained in the source material according to the public eye. It's just, it's, you know,
it's too scrutinized.
Yeah, it is. And I feel like Avengers or Marvel as a whole and its cinematic universe has kind of managed to step away from that. They've been like, they've been so persistent and their movies have been so good, especially the first movies. Had the first movies been Iron Man 3 and, you know, Thor 2,
we wouldn't even be doing a podcast right now.
No, I mean,
I can tell you,
it's just they were so good on their own. They were like, you don't need this. I mean, this is its own story. You don't need to reference the source too much. And I think it was fine that way.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And also, you know, Marvel obviously exists outside of it. But, you know, right now, Game of Thrones is catching a lot of flack because of the fact that they are going completely off book. But I think maybe people, too, have been burned so much on it that possibly that's the reason why people have problems with it. Like, you go back to the way Parallax was done in Green Lantern. For the purist, that movie was even more insulting than for the regular moviegoer, because
pretty insulting.
Yeah, because that Parallax was nothing like Parallax in the comics, and so maybe it's because people have been burned so much that it's starting to be an issue.
Fantastic Four 2, Galactus was a gas cloud.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but then you have the flip side of where sometimes the comic folks win, and you get your Deadpool movie the way that you want it.
You can't screw exactly. Deadpool up, though.
You can. Yes, I beg to differ. You can. Deadpool, and they did it. They did it in that Wolverine movie. They sure did.
Yeah, but I mean, if you just played, like, if you say comic book Deadpool, you can't write a bad movie about him because he's so crazy. He fits into any storyline. People are going to laugh and enjoy it because it's Deadpool in his red costume with his black eyes.
Yeah.
But they did screw him up. I mean,
they changed him into a completely different character in that one, though. It wasn't the same Deadpool.
That's true.
Yeah, very true.
McNutt, where do you think there will ever be a connecting tie between the comics and the Marvel verse?
I would say no to that question, but there have been too many instances where, in order to make money in the comics, they cross over universes that don't fit together. A good example is a while back in their Max imprint, which is their adult imprint, they did a story called Supreme Power, which reintroduced a Justice League S team called Squadron Supreme. Completely different world, supposed to be super realistic. And then all of a sudden, somehow it got linked to the 616 universe. And Nick Fury spent like 3 years in that universe because he got stuck there.
All for the sake of selling books.
All that to say, you know, when Marvel decides, hey, we could make some money by having a comic book where the cinematic universe and our comic book universe
collide.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
We'll put Chris Evans in this comic book for a while.
Chris Evans doesn't even want to be in the movies anymore.
My question is, has there been any crossover the movies bleeding into the comics? Have they borrowed any of the storylines or elements from those to use in any of the comics?
I wouldn't really be able to answer that question because I've quit reading Marvel for the most part. But as far as I know, no, it hasn't bled over at all. Except for Coulson. Coulson got introduced in the comics.
Yeah, that's specifically one thing that I can remember was
they put Obama
Coulson in. Who should be dead.
Freaking Coulson. But let it go. Let Coulson go.
Let it go.
Coulson wasn't the
He was the bookend of phase one.
Yeah, he should have been.
Like him getting splattered was, spoiler alert, Coulson dies in Avengers 1.
If you're listening to this and you haven't seen Avengers 1, shame on you, but that's okay.
I want to know if there's a guy out there that like just went and saw Avengers 2 and knows nothing of the Marvel movies. Just sits down and is like, what is this? What does all of this mean?
You know, I think I want to go see that Avengers 2 Age of Ultron tonight. That sounds like the thing I could get into.
Knows nothing about it. It's just like,
I heard James Spader's in that. I like him a lot.
But we talked about that before we went in the movie. The movies are kind of like comic books in their own right now that you have to watch all of them. You can't just jump in at the middle and say,
yeah, like, you got to watch them whether you want to or not.
Yeah. So it's like comic books. They're really hard to jump into the middle of a comic series.
And I've been saying this for years. You can go back and listen to all the Just Us Geeks episodes through the years and you will see it. I've been saying this. This universe is getting bloated and we're starting to get to the point to where it's going to be hard to introduce anyone to this universe, because if you want full information, I mean, I watched 5 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the last season, from season 1, purely because I'd heard that it would expand my understanding of Captain America 2.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here going, why wasn't this information in the movie? Why is it in the TV show?
Should have been in the movie.
And so those things happen where if you want a full scope of what's going on in the Marvel Universe, cinematic universe, you're going to have to watch every movie, every episode of the shows, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, like right now, yes, Daredevil doesn't cross over a whole lot, but what happens when it does?
When season 2 hits and he's dealing with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and... Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Maybe it'll make S.H.I.E.L.D. good, because Daredevil is freaking great.
Maybe he'll beat some faces of some of the
My favorite
people.
Meme that I've seen of Daredevil, and I think maybe the official Daredevil Twitter page retweeted it, is that that Chappelle Show meme with the crack guy, and he's like, hey man, you got any more of them Marvel's Daredevil episodes? It's face covered in crack. Hey man, you got any more of them Marvel's Daredevil episodes? Yeah, I would like some more of those, please.
And I'll tell you a universe this happened to, and you won't hear me say very many negative things about this television show.
Lost
got too bloated, because if you remember, in seasons 2 and 3, they had their alternate reality games that they had in between seasons that introduced elements that were extremely important to the plot. And they stopped doing it after season 3 because they realized that people were getting angry that they weren't getting the information in the show.
Right.
Is Marvel going to recognize it?
They have to. I mean, they blatantly recognized a fault that fans had with Man of Steel, and they responded. I would imagine they have to have some counter to this. I mean, they have a lot going on, and it's a lot to ask of people to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter when it was on, now Daredevil. You're working on more episodes on Netflix for other programs, and you want me to pay $10 to go see your movie. And then Ant-Man's coming out later. This month. I mean, you know, you're asking a lot of fans.
Exactly.
You know, and then on top of that, then you got people reading your books. That's a lot to ask of people. You know, you got to give us some space. I understand the Hydra thing.
Yeah.
That was cool how that worked. But it doesn't hashtag always have to be connected.
It dilutes the movies. Like, it really does. S.H.I.E.L.D. especially, because apparently there was some build-up to Avengers 2 involving the show this time. May have given insight to why they were undertaking that first mission.
Well, am I correct in that there's an Inhumans movie coming?
Yes, there okay. is.
So the Inhumans are being introduced in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Am I going to have to watch?
You're going to have to watch all of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in order to understand the Inhumans movie.
Yep.
That'll be one that I skip then, because I'm not going to do it. I mean, I've tried, even on Netflix, like going back and watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm just not going
to
do it.
You're also going to have to watch Iron Man 3 before you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so you understand Extremis.
Yeah. That's, anyway. All right, we want to hear from you over at JusticeGeeks.com. Are you okay with the Marvelverse and the comics not colliding or colliding? What do you want? Do you want to see a crossover? Let us know, and we'll feature your comments. Awesome. Ness. The little keyboard just kept doing its thing there. All right, now it's time for That's My Jam. Woohoo, jam time. Mr. McNutt, what is your jam this week?
My jam this week is Logan's soft skin.
Oh, thank you.
I love caressing it.
What a horrible jam that is.
Actually,
terrible.
Except gym. For the fact that Logan's skin isn't rough, or isn't smooth, rather.
I thought you weren't going to insult me.
Yeah, well, it happens.
False.
You also have. Never mind. My jam this week is actually a card game that's not Magic. That's a good point. The music. It's a card game called Wise Wars, which is about anime people.
I have like 17 starter decks and no one to play with.
We need to play.
We do.
And that's how Just Us Geeks works, folks.
Holy crap. I've been playing this game for 2 years with no one to play with.
Yeah, he's literally been playing with himself for 2 years.
I've been playing with little girls for like 6 months. Oh, wait, that little girl's anime deck.
Are you using Love Live?
No, it's if you've not played this game and you're a fan of anime or card games, you should. It's phenomenal.
Man, I wish I still had the Periscope on for your Kermit the Frog dance you did. That was freaking great.
But yeah, the game is very simple to learn. Almost any deck is competitive. Unlike Magic, you don't have to spend $600 to get into it. So try it out, people.
Please.
Cool.
It's a good game.
Logan, what's your jam of the week, sir?
So many jams. A lot of good stuff happened to me today. My Final Fantasy cards finally came in that I've been talking about, the Japanese TCG.
For a long time.
Yeah, it took 3 weeks for them to get here. Let's see. The dude wrapped him in a Japanese newspaper, so I have a Japanese newspaper. It's really cool. Jeez, I don't know. The corn dog that I had at the movie theater.
Chester went to the movies, ladies and gentlemen.
He did. Is that a corn dog in your pocket, or are you just happy to see
it? We tried to get a photo of him, but it looked really awkward.
It looked weird. So, yeah, I'm having a good week in general, I think. That's
awesome.
Who's general?
My jam of the week. It's my jam of the week. Boom, boom, boom. Ba-da-da-boom. I tell you what my jam of the week was getting caught up on some podcasts. I just, you know, it's... If you have a good podcast that you're listening to that you've not ever heard me mention, tell me. I would like to give it a go. They're, you know, I mean... I've been doing a lot of overtime work lately, and I need you know, like James does a lot of driving with his job, and he feels in that void with podcasts. I need some new things to listen to. I think I listen to probably every podcast on the Radiotopia Network. Speaking of which, and I'll kind of get to this at the end, we got renamed on the latest episode of I Heard That Was Good, because we kind of been talking about a network idea. And so they've renamed themselves to Just Us Movies, and I heard that was nerdy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're not nerds.
No. It should have been I Heard That Was Geek.
Yeah, but he didn't come up with it, so.
No.
No. Boom, 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 boom. It's a podcast. It's a
Phil
podcast.
Josh is void.
Donut.
I thought for a second we were going to start reacting to podcasts.
No one does that.
I definitely reacted to you playing White Shorts.
I know. I wish that was my jam. That should have been my jam. Your Kermit the Frog move you just pulled off there. He said it, and I knew when he said it, I was like, uh-oh.
It was a glorious
obscure
slogan.
Card games are my thing. Go listen to the spring cleaning episode, and you'll hear about it.
It'll be there. McNutt, thanks for coming back and hanging out with us for episode 162.
Well, thank you, idiots, for allowing me to.
Turner, McNutt, yep.
I have a beard again.
Yeah, I know. You're less creepy with the beard. I don't know why that is. How does that work? Anyway. Well, that'll about do it for episode 162 of the Justice Geeks podcast. Make sure you keep checking out JustusGeeks.com for your daily dose of everything geek, from tech to Transformers, TV, music, video games, news, reviews, and more. You can find it all every single day over on the newly redesigned JustusGeeks.com. So, my real jam of the week is Michael Jackson, but I couldn't tell you that until now. So, on the last episode of I Heard That Was Good, they talked about the Free Willy song that Michael Jackson did for Free Willy. And I was like, yeah. So this is for you, Tim and Carson. Free your Willy at the end of this episode, I suppose.
Mine's been free the entire time.
Logan, have you ever seen Free Willy?
No.
Did you know what this is?
Nope.
Do you know who Michael Jackson is?
Yes.
Okay.
Woo. He's that guy that touched Macaulay Culkin.
Oh. No, he did not.
Macaulay Culkin touched him.
No, none of that happened.
Jesus.
Stop it. But, man. McNutt, you should listen. I heard that was good. You'd probably like them.
I probably would.
Yeah, you probably would. I think you would probably.
Wait. Hang on. Didn't you tell me you had a surprise for me?
It's Michael Jackson.
Oh. Don't you don't have PTSD?
You're welcome. Surprise. But Someone mentioned on Twitter last week that they really liked our karaokeing at the end of each
episode. I saw that. That was awesome.
But nobody knows this. This was just a... Our karaokeers are not here.
They aren't. No, not really.
I can't sing.
Well...
You could be our fifth wheel at Karaoke to the Death.
Yeah, we're Karaoke into the Death. With I Heard That Was Good.
I still have to meet those guys.
Yeah, we're going to throw it down for
so we can come to terms about the
rules. There will need to be terms met before we do that.
Play a game of Vice Horse.
I'll play you.
They're not. I would like to see you guys go at that.
Okay.
Just because I've not ever seen the game. And
I'd hate to make Logan cry.
Oh, really? What set do you play?
Fairy Tale and Angel Beats.
Angel Beats, yeah. No wonder you'll beat me.
Hey. There's no violence in Michael Jackson songs. This is all about...
I play Persona 4 in Bakemonogatari.
I'm sorry.
A whale jumps over a boy to freedom.
I hear... I know that. It's on the cover. Spoiler alert.
You know, they did an episode... where they did a spoiler episode and then they bleeped out the spoilers and did a spoiler-free episode.
Was that the Furious 7 episode?
Yeah. I thought that was really cool. More people voted for spoilers.
They need to. I mean, that's what you listen to that for.
What do you think about spoilers? You think like it's your own thing now? Like if you get something spoiled, it's your own fault.
Yeah, I really do. Because you know it's going to be up the next day or within the hour.
Well, yeah, like Walking Dead. If I'm not watching it live, it's just
don't go on Facebook.
Yeah, just stay off Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah,
because that bit me in the face once, not even intentionally. Like
AMC did it.
At
once.
Least it didn't shoot you through the eye.
Oh.
Dang.
All right. Is it time?
No. He's going to do other things.
Really? This is long.
Oh, man. This is the credit song to Free Willy.
Oh, it's a long...
Like, the big whale jumps over the boy and doesn't crush him by some magic law of physics, and then Michael Jackson does his thing. Like, I remember seeing this movie...
Does Michael Jackson actually, like, walk up behind the kid and it's like...
Man, he's not like
then it would be
this.
A horror movie.
Completely different tone.
I really like Michael Jackson.
He liked you too several years ago.
I didn't see him. I was in the pyramid once right after he was there, which is now a Bass Pro Shop.
I've occupied the same space as famous people, you know, with a big temporal rift before.
You're a donut.
You're a donut.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
In our darkest hour, in my deepest despair, will you still care? My troubles and my tribulations, do our doubts and frustrations. I'll never let you part.
Boom, shakalaka!